Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Let me start off the jump here before we actually, you know, talk baseball or whatever. Apologizing for the science fiasco from the last podcast, as I expected, Jack, as I thought in the moment and should have followed through on, you were missing a key piece of information in describing the law of gravity. As soon as we were done, I go upstairs to Emily and I'm like, so this is what Jack said. It's definitely not right, right? And she's like, well, in a vacuum it is, but not in like real, when there's real conditions outside or anything. And I was like, I knew he was missing something. I knew it wasn't right. Jack, you made us look like fools. Explain yourself.
I would just like to say that I feel like this has more to do with me not paying attention in class growing up. I was more like I was a big SparkNotes guy, you know.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that I approached school was just get by, right? Like, just be there, be present. Always there. No one was more dependable on being in class than me. But don't expect much once everything started. Like, I was the classic guy in the group projects as like a kid, where I was like, all right, give it to the nerd, and then like let him at the end just say we all chipped in and did work. Like, wasn't my thing, school. So
well, it shows, pal. It shows.
Yeah. Listen, I was there for one reason and one reason only. To play sports, but I did pick up offhandedly about 9.8 meters per second, and I would just like everyone out there to know that, like, we're just kind of having some fun. We are definitely was not serious. We are very pro science. We're very pro science. I just thought it was a fun little observation that I had that I never thought made any sense to me, and I figured, you know, if I could share it with one audience, it would be this audience. James, I swear, I would be sitting there in class. I was like, dude, that doesn't make any sense. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So 10 years later, I figured I knew I'd be hosting a Phillies podcast, and I would have to bring up the law of gravity being BS. So I don't know. I feel like the people listening to this podcast can choose who they want to believe. My eye test or Albert Einstein?
It's not Einstein.
It wasn't Einstein? Who was it?
No, Newton, man.
Oh, Sir Isaac Newton. He was a sir.
He was a sir. You are correct.
Well, so is Didi. So is Didi Gregorius. So who's to say which is more impressive?
The apple on the head, you know, the story?
I don't know that.
Yeah. We should probably move off science again before we go down a bad path. All right. We'll get to the Phillies in a sec, but World Series. We didn't really talk much about it last time. Obviously, it was just getting started. But, you know, I think in what was clearly a sham of a season, a clear asterisk attached to everything that happened, pretty fun World Series.
So I was actually expecting to be with you on the asterisk things, but I actually feel like the Dodgers won the World Series.
I don't. Well, I don't feel like it is a World Series. I feel like it was the 2020 baseball championship.
But here's the thing: is that it felt just as real as the other times, because they threw in that best of three series that doesn't always have to be thrown in, and also it was the Rays versus the Dodgers. Who, if you predicted that before the season, it'd be like, oh, that makes sense. So the Heat Lakers never felt real to me. Because it was like, dude, the Heat wouldn't really be here if this was a legitimate season. But I genuinely felt like Dodgers and the Rays could have been there had they played 162.
You know, I think they might have. I think they probably would have. Right. Those were definitely the two best teams. That doesn't mean that it doesn't have an asterisk. An asterisk is this season. Look, an asterisk doesn't have to be inherently bad. It's not like, oh, that's not an achievement. It's clearly an achievement. It just is signifying the fact that this was a weird, ridiculous season where they only played 60 games and all kinds of weird, shammy type stuff happened. And that has to be acknowledged when you say Los Angeles Dodgers 2020 World Series champions, quote unquote. Like, you just have to acknowledge it has to be different. Like, again, you can view it whatever through whatever prism you want. You can say it's exactly the same. It's a totally valid championship. And someone else can say, it was a sham of a season. Regardless, the asterisk has to be there to show that it was not a normal baseball season.
Listen, you can say whatever you want. All I know is that this is just more of your anti-Clayton Kershaw propaganda that you are spreading. Because you like, here's what's so messed up about you.
I was happy for Kershaw.
No,
I mean,
there's
to
no
kind
one
of,
truly,
to kind of win a championship is cool.
No one likes seeing other people fail quite like you.
Oh, and, yeah, that's my MO. That's me. That's what they call me.
I mean, this is just, if this was the Rays that won, you'd be like, oh, Kevin Cash, GOAT. Oh, Charlie Morton, better than Roy Halladay. Like, yes. this would be your take, but since you just loathe Clayton Kershaw so much.
Yes, I was rooting for the Dodgers, but yes, I like it.
Yeah, no, it is a shame. I really, dude, I don't know about you, but I was watching the game last night, and I was like, just give me Kershaw.
But at the same time, I also couldn't say that without thinking of Grady Little and Pedro Martinez and say, maybe Kershaw should not come into this game here.
Yeah, but, I mean, just so many narratives could have been erased or fueled by
that performance. Oh, yeah. Look, obviously you, the takesman, anyone who enjoys drama in sports wanted Kershaw to be in that game. But he could have thrown Urias for another three innings, it felt like. Like, that dude was not getting hit last night, just like most of the series. Urias is nasty. He made the right call. But I agree with you. Dave Roberts out managing Kevin Cash. How about that? Who had that on their bingo card?
I, for one, did not see that happening.
All right, let's talk about, because we're I understand where you're coming from in the asterisk thing, but I think, I feel. Regardless, I think the bigger story to come out of the last game was the obviously the Blake Snell decision and the rebirth.
Love
of
it.
Analytics are killing the game, Jack.
Oh, how can we even watch it with all these analytics? I can't even see the screen. There's just so many numbers.
All right, so what do you think about the decision and then the fallout from the decision?
You know what? For such a dead sport, I'm just so surprised so many people are talking about one decision. Imagine this happening in another sport. Like, seriously, like, no one's breaking down whether or not, like, Eric Spoelstra made the right lineup change in the finals, or, like, Frank Vogel. No one even credits him with being able to really win a championship. Like, no one's breaking down what they're doing. Meanwhile, we're having full discourses online about Kevin Cash doing what he's done all year, which is pull guys early and not let stars go deep in games and whatnot. Now, oh, dude, I love a good analytics debate. And it's like, I am generally of the premise that analytics are a regular season thing to get to the postseason. But in the postseason, you have to trust what you see a little bit more. Like, you can't do what got you there. Like, I don't buy into that when it comes to the postseason, because the postseason is just a different animal. And him pulling Blake Snell with how well Blake Snell is pitching for Nick Anderson is just absurd. Like, Nick Anderson was awful in the postseason. And Nick Anderson, for the last, like, or ever since the Rays have acquired him, has been the best relief pitcher in the sport. Like, he's been unbelievable. And I get why you would say, all right, water always finds its level. But, like, let's use a little bit of reasoning here. I mean, he's been dreadful. He's at 73 pitches. Mookie, Springer, and Turner were combined 0 for 6 with 6 Ks. Like, it was a perfect position to just be like, all right, I'm going to trust my guy and let him ride. And I don't care that, like, his I guess the averages is when he gets over 75 pitches is like 300, 390, 1,200 OPS, all that stuff. Like, legit bad numbers. But that's not because you don't let him do it ever. Like, Blake's as a Blake Snell fantasy baseball owner, I was incredibly frustrated because it was like, dude, he would strike out like 9 in 4 innings, and Kevin Cash would be like, all right, nope, this is too much. Get him out of there. And it's just so funny that this happened the day before, like, the Cliff Lee game was on this date in 2009. And it's like, would Kevin Cash have pulled Cliff Lee? So
yes.
Listen,
yeah,
he definitely would have. So it was, and it's honestly, it's frustrating because like, listen, I'm a big adapter die guy when it comes to analytics and stuff, but there's also that starting pitching guy in me that's like, man, I just want to see if a starter can do it. And I know it might not work numbers wise and all that stuff, but seeing a starter go like 8 innings in a winner go home game 6 of the World Series, just putting his team on his back, like, that's what aces do, that's what horses do, that's what top of the rotation talents do. And Blake Snell was on pace to do that, and the fact that they got ripped from him hurts. Like, it legitimately hurts. That's baseball. Like, that last night was freaking baseball. And I understand everything that went into the decision. I just hated it. I just flat out hated it. And I don't know, it's a second-ish straight World Series where great starting pitching that you rely on and great players have carried you, and it's just another testament to that. Great starting pitching still matters, and the Dodgers had more of it than the Rays this series. And It's just frustrating, but I get why he did it, and whatever. Kevin Cash is still great.
I agree, Kevin Cash is still great, but I don't excuse this decision. I know there are a million people out there saying, well, this was their process all season and blah, blah. I get it, but, like, again, to exactly what Jack said, these are human beings playing this game. You know that's, like, one of my things, but, like, you have to adapt to the situation. You have to be willing to say, all right, Blake Snell is a Cy Young winning pitcher who is clearly locked the hell in right now. I mean, he was dealing. He was dominant. Like, he looked unhittable, you know, for all intents and purposes. And you just have to have a feel in some moments. Like, sometimes you have to be willing to step away from the numbers and step away from the process and say, it's game 6 of the freaking World Series. Our season is on the line. It's a 1-0 game, and there is now a runner on first. Do I want my ace, who is only at 73 pitches, who is as locked in as any pitcher can be on an individual night, do I want to pull that guy for someone cold out of the bullpen who hasn't even been good in the playoffs, but someone cold out of the bullpen in this spot, or do I want to let this dude battle this out? It just was such a no-brainer to me. And look, sometimes there can be the situation where a vast majority of people think something's the right thing and it might be the wrong thing. In this case, like, literally everyone on the planet, everyone who's ever watched baseball before, everyone on Twitter, like, everyone knew it was a mistake. Like, we all were like, well, that's a bad decision. Like, I texted you in the moment. I texted you the moment it happened. I was like, well, pulling Snell's a decision. Like, and you were like, it's what they've done all year. And you were like, but I hate it too. Like, but it's like, we knew it. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it in the moment. And yeah, it might not have backfired. Yeah, process over results, all that. But, like, sometimes, to your point, in big situations, particularly in the playoffs, you need to be willing to trust your eyes, trust your guys, trust the moment. Like, And I think Kevin Cash really deserves to be crushed for it. I really, and it's the whole organization. I think the whole organization deserves it because it's not just a Kevin Cash decision. Obviously, that is a formula that they use. But ultimately, in the moment, Kevin Cash is a manager of the year, World Series manager. He has to make that call in the moment. And I think he blew it. I really do. I know what their process is. Sometimes you got to make the call. And I think he made the wrong call. And Jack, to your point, I agree with the analytics thing. I sent you this quote too, but it's like, I can't read the actual phrasing of the quote on here because it's pretty expletive laden. But Billy Beane, basically the famous quote, is one of my brother's favorite quotes. He loved to send it to me when this kind of stuff happens. Is basically like, Look, my job is to get my team to the playoffs. That's what analytics do. After that, it's luck. Like, and it's much more expletive laden than that, but he's not wrong, Jack.
No, he's not. I mean, and that's kind of how I feel about a lot of regular season baseball. Like, sure, over 162, going for the home run, going for the big inning, all that stuff is going to work out. And you know, not having your starter stretched out and using your bullpen and all that stuff like that, that wins regular season games. But what separates great teams from good teams is the ability in the postseason to find the right matchups and trust your guys and trust what you're seeing and all that stuff. So I tell you what, there's nothing that I love more than like just second guessing managerial decisions. Like it was the one last night, obviously, with Kevin Cash. The year before it was Hinch. I mean, Hinch not bringing in Garrett Cole.
Not bringing Garrett
Cole.
Oh, my God. Like, disastrous.
It's just so – and I think that's what makes baseball so awesome is like
– It has these moments.
Right.
And
it's one of those things where you can see it coming. It's like, is he going to go to him? Is he not going to go to him? Or, like, what are you doing? You got to go to him. And it's like an avalanche almost where it's just like you see it coming. He makes a decision. Everyone's second-guessing it, you know. And it's like – I feel like there's more people at home that are watching that understand the processes of baseball more than almost any other sport. Like football, no one really knows anything about football. Like we act like we know football, but no one really knows anything about football.
It's a stick Y2 route, Jack.
Oh, got to fill the A gap. Like what the hell is an A gap? Like,
I
shut up.
I know
up.
What an A-gap
just,
is, but yes, I'm with
I
you.
Know what an A-gap is, too, but it's just like, shut up. Like everyone,
yes, I know.
Everyone watching football is just watching the quarterback. Like, that's all watching football is. It's just, is the quarterback playing well? Cool.
Very
you know,
with you, Jack.
So,
very with you. It's a good take.
Right. Right. So, like, no one knows anything about football. Basketball, no. No one knows anything about basketball. I mean, you can kind of understand and watch what's going on, but no one really understands the nuances. And in hockey, like, dude, no one knows anything about hockey. It's like, is the puck in the net? Cool. I'm happy. You know, like, seriously, no one knows that. No one knows. There's no strategy in hockey. I'm convinced there's no strategy in hockey. It's like, it's a gym class sport. I mean, that's why it's always so frustrating to watch. But
I love that baseball, phrase. I've never heard that. It's a gym class sport. That's a great way to describe it. I love that.
But baseball is like the one sport where I feel like anyone at their home can be sitting there and watch it and pretty much understand what's going on. You know, it's not that hard it's not a hard game to really break down, catch it, throw it, hit it. Like it's ultimately that's what it is. And I feel like everyone, no matter how little or how much you played, was watching Kevin Cash last night and like just wondering what he was doing and what his thought process was and had a take on it. You know, I mean, it felt just like Britain back in, what was that, 2012, 2013 when Showalter freaking just let Britton sit in the bullpen and brought in Ubaldo.
That was the year Britton had him on a save that year. I think that was that year, right?
It's just like that's what makes the sport so great. Breaking down managerial decisions, like getting mad at managers, and like it's just such a perfect sport. It is truly great, and that's what's so frustrating. It's like now, you know. Maybe people wouldn't view baseball as such a dead sport if the people that covered baseball and talked about baseball primarily didn't just crap on it all the time. Like, if you look at the ratings, obviously they're down from years past in most cases, and it's every sport is down, except for football, because football is a machine. But like, the pandemic has killed you know, sports viewing, but it still outdrew the NBA finals and all of that. Like, it's still a really popular sport, and it's a popular sport in individual cities, whereas like people care more about their local baseball team than, you know, their local basketball or hockey team in most cases. And it just bothers me that, you know, you have a decision like last night, like whether or not you agree with analytics or not, it's like you got to just destroy the whole thing because it's not played the exact way that you grew up watching it and playing it. Like, what about the generations under you, right? Like, I grew up watching the sport now. Like, I know what's going on, and I don't actively root against it, you know? So, I don't know. I don't think it would be viewed as, like, such a dead, dying sport if the old people that are paid big money to talk about it and tweet about it and write about it didn't just constantly complain about oh, it's so unwatchable now. It's like, just because the game has changed doesn't mean that it's unwatchable. Every sport has changed. Like, it's just a sport. It's just a sport. Like, calm down. But that's my mini rant.
Yeah, it's a great rant. I mean, look, the one of the two guys calling the World Series doesn't sound like he likes the sport like that much when he's watching it. And he played it. Like, John Smoltz is like a bummer to watch as he's ripping shifts and this and that. And like, he's just not a lot of fun to watch. Doesn't sound like he really loves baseball when he's talking about it. I'm with you on that point across the board. And again, look, don't blame analytics. Like, blame the people implementing analytics. Blame the people who, you know, and look, we've talked about this before. This is not new for us that, you know, look, we understand and I think agree that the home run walk strikeout of it all is certainly not good for baseball from a fun watching the game perspective. We are both proponents of, you know, seeing more playoff baseball all year round, that type of baseball. But I mean, to just whenever one of these types of things happens, it's always like, oh, analytics is ruining the sport. Well, actually, last night, analytics was the reason that game was so compelling. How about that? Like, the reason that that game was so compelling was because analytics led to a decision that was so wildly reviled and disagreed with and ultimately blew up in their face that it gave us this thing to talk about and this thing to argue about and this thing to discuss and allowed people to defend the analytics of it and all that. Like, I don't understand why people hate it so much. Like, again, if you want to make the argument that it's the home run strikeout, like, as we've talked about, like, that's a different argument. But in terms of, like, what we saw last night, like, analytics actually made that game more fun.
It did make it more fun, and it made people furious, which is why I love it so much. I just
Well, one thing, yeah, too, that I've noticed that I love that you do, and you did it in a very passionate rant there, but you did it earlier in the podcast, and I wrote down a note to bring it back up, and then you just did it again, and then you did it in a very subtle way before, too, is that you are like the baseball's champion. Like, you find ways to bring up the ratings and who it's beating. You always take a big affront when people say it's dying, you know, if there's a dying sport. And then you come back here with this rant about, I don't think you get enough credit, Jack, as baseball's champion. Like, the true fighter for baseball.
Because all I get told all the time is how, like, oh, who even cares about the World Series? It's like, dude, a lot of people care about the World Series, Joe to camera. Just because you don't care about the World Series doesn't mean that everyone doesn't care about the World Series. But, like, it just bothers me how it's talked about and the general discourse about baseball. It's like, everyone's just so miserable all the time. And, like, instead of being miserable, how about you figure out why they're doing it and the thought process behind it? And it's like, yeah, see, I am very pro-human. And believe me, I like watching starters go deep in games and all that stuff. But, like, how about instead of it always having to be, like, analytics bad, dude. Like, why can't it just be like, oh, okay, I see his thought process. I think it's stupid. But whatever. Like, also, it's all discourse on analytics. Like, the Dodgers won a game yesterday where they had an opener. Like, in a game
The Rays are ruining baseball with analytics. Yeah, like, Dodgers game opener. What are we talking about here?
It's absolutely ludicrous. So, if I need to be the guy that's going to be positive on on baseball, I will be that guy very gladly. But the way people talk about it, it's like they kick their puppy, you know? Like, it's baseball. Like, it's a sport. It's something we enjoy, and it's changed, and I understand it's not the way that it used to be played, but let's do a little bit more critical thinking and less knuckle dragging.
I feel like a fitting end to the year for Rob Manfred too, with how it all started with the, you know, bleep show of lead up to the season with his handling of the labor negotiations and all that, and then for him to basically sound drunk, I don't know if he was or wasn't, whatever was going on, while getting booed at the end there, and then obviously the whole Justin Turner situation, which, you know, we don't have to dive into, but I think it was obviously personally outrageous that guy was out on the field. I understand celebrating with your teammates and all that and whatever, but like, you know, some things are more important. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There are so many people who've had to suffer real hardships during this pandemic, and you wanting to celebrate is not a real hardship comparative to the things that people have had to deal with, like not being with their parents when they died, their parents dying in the first place, all this type of stuff. So whatever, we don't need to get into the whole that whole thing, because that's not really what we do too much here. But that's where I stand. I think Justin Turner's an asshat, and I think the whole organization are asshats for it, and I think Major League Baseball are assets for it. But ultimately, Rob Manfred, I think about as bad a year as a commissioner can have from start to finish.
Well, dude, I mean, like, we've just completely forget about the freaking Astros thing. Like,
great point. That was a great. That was before the labor negotiation. It's like, yeah. Gone. Great point.
Yeah. No one talks about the Astros. No one talks about the Astros. Do we remember how much he botched the Astros thing?
Wow.
Like, he was so bad. Like, he called the World Series trophy a punk of metal. It's a great point, Jack.
You're right. Honestly, Jack, what a great point. I didn't even include that in my awful year for him because there was so much awful stuff that happened after.
And then he caps it off with that performance yesterday.
Oh man.
I mean, what? Honestly, I hope he's healthy.
Me too. Like, me too. All jokes is I agree with you, because it seemed like, let's put it this way, he was either wasted or there could be something wrong with him. So if there's something wrong with him, I'm not making fun of how he acted, but it definitely seemed like he was like drunk, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Well, they did come out and say like this was he had a problem with his feedback, I guess. So like, I guess it was like in his ear at the same time as he was trying to talk and whatnot. But then just to take your earbuds out, you know. So they said it was nothing health related. So I mean, I hope not, because my first thought was like, oh, he's like,
having a stroke or something. Yeah, 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 for sure.
So I hope it's not that. But like, dude, he sounded hammered. Like it was unbelievable. I mean. What an awful year. I mean, I'm sure he's just so glad that it's over.
I also think that, like, he got booed heartily by the whatever amount of people were there.
It was like 11,000 people. Yeah. And it sounded like a full house.
It sounded like a full house. And I think that struck him, too. Because, like, I think a lot of times those people who are that high level or whatever are somewhat insulated from the critiques of the normies, like you and us, you know, the normal people or whatever. But like, Goodell has to go to the NFL draft and get booed by people. And then he realizes, he's like, oh, these people don't like me very much. Oh, that's good to know. Or whatever. I think it kind of, like, I don't think Manfred thought people loved him, but I think the boos he got shook him a little bit too.
I mean, it clearly did. He didn't know how to react. I mean, because the MLB draft is all just like owners, or not owners, but front office people. And like, them booing him would be a weird scene. So yeah, there's that. And it's not like he gets out in public. Like, every time he goes out in public, he's like, you know, he's doing a press conference with a bunch of reporters, and they boo him again.
And he lives in New York, which is a place where no one says anything to famous people. Like, it's like a code. It's like LA. It's like that type of thing, you know?
Oh, sweet. That's why I knew that code too when I was in Philly, and I saw Jason Siegel walking around, and I didn't say anything because it's a code, you know?
Not because you froze up.
Right. And it's the same thing when I saw Rich Doobie. When you're at Cooperstown, you don't break the code of Cooperstown.
Yes.
And talk to heroes like Rich Doobie.
You would have made Rich Doobie's month, is my guess.
Listen, next time I see good old Dick Doobie. I'll make sure I say hi so I'm not acting like a nerd. But yes, Rob Manfred. Just a tough year.
A disastrous year for Manfred.
Tough year. And now there's an $8.3 billion debt this year.
He's talking about how much you're losing. He's giving interviews to Evan Drellick, being like, oh, buddy, let me tell you how much money we're losing.
Very eager to share. And like, this has to be happening in all sports, right? I mean, I would say football probably the least because of the TV contracts, but like, I don't know. It seems like, why
of course,
is baseball always
it? But I think because they're dramatizing it. Again, as I've said from the beginning, throughout the whole labor negotiations, the whole thing, all of it, like, if you want us to believe you that you are losing all this money, open up your books and show us. Because if you don't, why would I believe you? Why should I believe you? Why should I believe these people? Why? Give me one good reason to believe these billionaires who have lied over and over and over again, who, to the point we were just talking about, all the fan stuff somehow found a way to put 11,000 people in an enclosed stadium in a quote-unquote playoff bubble, which might be the biggest hypocrisy of the whole thing. They have the players go to Texas for a bubble, and then they let fans in? Like, what is that? Like, that's crazy town. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's just, they are liars. They are all liars. That's how I feel.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
But not Johnny Boy. I mean, John's going to have a big offseason.
John, you know? Better. Because you know what? As much as I'm not saying he's a good owner or whatever, he's still horrible, whatever, but Josh Harris just brought Daryl Morey here. Your move, John, because there's a Daryl Morey in baseball out there waiting.
Yeah, they may have just been in the World
blank
Series.
Blank.
But that's
check.
Blank. That's always the official position. Yes. But it's like, and the shame of it all is like, there's so many good like scouts and that stuff that have been let go from teams because they can't afford them. Like, why don't you zig when others are zagging?
Totally.
And get, like,
totally.
All
it's a buying opportunity, Jack. Totally.
I know. It really is. It's like a golden opportunity to go scoop up some of the best and the brightest in the sport. And, you know, it's something I fear that Cohen's going to do up in there in New York if he ever is approved as the owner, which I feel like he's been approved 3 times. But I guess he's going to be officially approved on Friday. But it's just like such a golden opportunity to go get some of the best and the brightest. But you did bring out Daryl Morey, and boy, did my first thought automatically become Neander. Because
yep.
It's the exact same thing.
Yep.
It's the exact same freaking thing. Like, John, it's right there. Like, it is legitimately right there in front of you. The Sixers lay the groundwork. I mean, they got Daryl freaking Morey.
I know. Like, I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it. Like, we have one of the smartest guys in the league running the Sixers. Like,
yeah. And
like,
that's
only
Josh
one.
Harris.
That's all we've ever said. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's all we've ever said. Come on, John.
Like, Josh Harris is a truly awful owner. And he was able to get Daryl Morey here. And you wonder why? Because he spent.
Yep.
He just spent money on getting Daryl Morey here. Like, that's what it's going to take. He spent, I don't know, he's paying Doc Rivers $10 million a year, I'm pretty sure. Like, hey, buddy, do you want to win or do you want to not win? Like, that's what we're talking about here. And like, Eric, like, look at what Eric Neander did. Like, look what he did there. For as much as we talked about Chaim Bloom last year, Neander was his boss. Like, Neander still is pretty much making all those moves. Like, Chaim, I think, is going to be good. But, like, Neander is definitively definitely good at his job. And, like, when you see that Dodgers team, you know, obviously they have the high-end talent. I mean, Kershaw, Dustin May, Mookie Betts, Seager, Jock Peterson, I guess, Will Harris. Just all these like top end talent guys, and then you
Will
supplement
Smith.
Them with the
Will
Max
Smith,
Muncys,
yeah.
the Chris Taylors, the Kike Hernandezes, that's what we could freaking be. Like, that's what we could be. We could be Dodgers East and just whatever it takes. Seriously, even if he's like, no, I'm content here in Tampa, and offer him more. Like, if you're not going to spend money on players, and you're not going to spend money on scouts, and you're not going to spend money on certain things, spend money on this. If you want to be a semi-quasi, like, small market team, then go get Eric Neander. Like, it's just, it's so obvious, and they are in such a golden opportunity to do this, and don't give me the freaking, Andy McPhail might stand in the way, then fire him. Like, you're the owner. You were the owner of the baseball team. You could fire Andy if you want. You can say, hey, Andy, step aside. Like, this whole notion that Andy McPhail is going to step in the way of a potential presidential hire is ridiculous. Like, it's not going to happen. If you want him to move, then fire him or make him move. Like, it's not that big of a deal. But it's an opportunity to get a legit big wig in the sport in here, and I just want them to go after the best one. It is right there. He just lost the World Series. He could be thinking, hey, I've done all I could accomplish here. I got into Game 6 of the World Series against a $200 million payroll. Let me see what I can do. Be that team, John. Just be that team, and you are that team. Just act like it, please.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, to your point there about, you know, if you're not going to spend money here, if you're not going to spend money, like, I don't care if you don't spend money anywhere else if you spend money here. Like, this is the most important spot to spend money. Eric Neander just proved it by taking the Rays to the World Series with the budget that they have. Like, that's the point. Like, this guy just showed, and obviously you would hope that Middleton would spend more than the Rays would, even if he's not going to spend as much as we want him to, which, you know, obviously he will, a year to year, I mean. Like, so, like, that's it. Like, this is the most important thing to spend the money on. Like, Neander literally just proved it. Like, that's the guy. That's the thing. That's the thing that matters. I'm so with you, Jack. This is, and again, it's actually, like, the Maury thing is such a perfect parallel in a couple ways. Obviously, just the idea of bringing, like, the smartest, most creative, original guy available or quasi-available, whatever, in and taking that job to take over a franchise that, you know, has real problems in terms of building for the future at the moment. But also the idea that, like, Josh Harris, prior to Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey, was enemy number one in Philadelphia. Like, people were talking about him as maybe the worst owner in the history of the city. I mean, he was reviled, and don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying that people love Josh Harris now. I certainly don't. But, like, I got to give the dude some credit. Like, he certainly has turned the narrative around. And, like, John Middleton has that opportunity here. Like, again, let's not forget, like, a month ago or whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, when Klentak stepped down, and we see that disastrous press conference and discuss that disastrous press conference. Like, we didn't forget that, John. We didn't forget not making the playoffs for 9 years in a row. We haven't forgotten any of this stuff. Like, this is a chance with one move, one decision, one payment, and obviously a potentially lofty one, but one payment to completely turn that narrative around, like, with one move. Like, it just seems like such a no-brainer for John Middleton, who seems like he wants to win, if nothing else. Like, he has no idea how to do it, but seems like he at least wants to win in a holistic sense, and also seems like he does want to be viewed as a winner, you know? So, like, do this, John, and you'll go a hell of a lot closer, a hell of a lot longer way to being viewed that way.
Listen, and if it comes down to paying Neander or paying JT, like,
it's not a question.
I'm paying Neander.
It's not a question. If it comes down to paying Neander or any player on the roster, it's Neander. The roster in the whole, like, again, I would take a Rays level of money roster for a few years if that's what it takes to get Neander in here to start rebuilding this whole thing, and then we can move forward, like, whatever. And obviously that would never happen. I'm just using an extreme example. The point is that Neander is more important than anyone on the roster. It's not even close.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be nice? I mean, like, they've had to give away legit talent, too, to save money. I mean, like, they had to trade away Jake Cronenworth and Tommy Pham because they weren't going to pay Tommy Pham. It's like they had freaking Jake Cronenworth. Like, like,
yeah, the guy who's battling Bohm for Rookie of the Year. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And it's like, huh. I mean, it would be so beyond huge. And it's like, you know, they're in the World Series, they have a loaded roster, they have everyone's coming out of the bullpen with, like, the cool part about the Rays bullpen, it's like they just get pitch design guys and pitch shaping guys, and it's not just 100-mile-an-hour fireballers. Like, they have guys who can just, like, spin a baseball on a slider and whatnot. Like, it's a They have someone for every hitter in the lineup. It's just they're such a cool team to kind of study. And they just went to Game 6 of the World Series with it, like an $80 million payroll. And they still have the number one farm system in the sport. Like that's what's so crazy. It's like usually when teams go to the World Series and, you know, they're competitive for a couple of years, the farm system kind of falls by the wayside because it's like, oh, we're going to make win-now moves and we're going to go for it. Like, the Rays are already amazing, and they still have a loaded farm system behind them. Like, that's what I want here. Like, that's what I want here, and I think he realizes it, and I think he wants to go get him, and I think he wants to, you know, go get a guy in here that has a track record and is a progressive president and someone that knows how to legitimately scout and develop guys. It's all he talked about. If you gotta take away the bad parts of the press conference and focus on the good parts of the press conference, he was right about, you know, scouting and developing. Yep. And on all that stuff. Like, if you just take him at his word of that, then Neander's the guy, man. And John, I know you listen to the podcast because a lot of your actions have suggested that. If you think we were excited about Bryce Harper, like, we will tell the fan base that they should be more excited about Neander than that of Bryce Harper. I know Bryce Harper is the player, and I know he sells tickets, but let me tell you something. We would get this fan base to the point where it's like, Neander is that big of a deal. So don't worry about that. We got that side covered. You can let JT walk, whatever. Just bring us Eric. Blank check, whatever it takes. Absolutely need it.
I love that idea. Yes, John, we got you.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say.
Listen.
We got you.
We'll be your PR guys.
Yes, we will die. I will stay up for 48 straight hours convincing people that I'll tweet, man. Okay?
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow. Think about that, John.
Think about that, John. Think about what I'm saying here. I will tweet for you. I will tweet about how great Eric Neander is, how lucky we are to have him. I'll do all that, John. So we got you. I like this.
I think that's more incentive than the
blank
check.
It is pretty magnanimous of us if we're going to be real. I mean, we're not getting paid for this or anything like that. We're not getting royalties or whatever. We're doing this, John, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
Like, this is all we care about. You know, yeah, James, like, puts on James puts on a facade that he's an Eagles fan. And that he
well, you know what's funny is that honestly, this is we never lied to the IOPS listeners. And I love the Sixers. Like, I'm a 4-for-4. I love all my teams and stuff like that. But no joke, and this is really sad, and I'm really sad to admit this, but the very first emotion when I heard that the Sixers got Daryl Morey, even before my excitement that the Sixers had Daryl Morey and he was going to be in the city, how fun that was, my first emotion was jealousy as a Phillies
fan. Oh, same. Yeah, same.
Not even kidding. That was the first thing I thought of, was like, I want the smart guy. I want the smart guy on my team.
I know.
And the Sixers are my team. So, yes, Jack. Yes.
Imagine just like, imagine getting the notification that they hired Neander. I don't want to let you dream about it too much, but like, I mean, James, are you listening?
I'm listening. Yes.
Full disclosure. I mean, we again, never lied to the High Hopes listeners. You saw me sprint down the hallway today for Daryl Morey.
Jack did like a actually somewhat impressive athletic sprint, stop, rip the door open, yell, we got Morey. It was impressive.
Listen. For as overweight
explosion.
As I am.
That was the word I would say.
Yeah. Quick feet. Listen, I had the fastest feet in the PSAC. Everyone knows it. I picked off a lot of people in high school. If I was given the opportunity in college, I would have picked off a lot of guys and didn't get the opportunity. I got quick feet. I got a lot of weight on top of those feet. But I moved pretty well.
Less than before, buddy. Runner guy.
Yeah.
Runner
guy. Quick twitch.
Quick twitch and a runner guy. You're gonna be unstoppable. All right.
Yes.
Last thing, and next week I want to. We should get into some of the free agents and kind of talk. We're gonna do our dream. When should we do our perfect off season? You think that's next week or the week after? Because we should do it soon because the off season
starting.
So
I think it should be the following week because I'm pretty sure we're gonna have a friend of the podcast on next week.
Ooh, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I love it.
from Down in Instructionals. Phillies.
Oh,
football game.
Buddy, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's time to
it's
bring the big dog
way
back
too
on the
long.
Podcast.
Way too yes. long. All right. So big dog next week. We'll do our perfect dog season after that. We'll get in a little free agent talk. But the last two things for me, and then we'll get to your take bag. But back to Manfred for a second.
Sure.
Luckily, not him specifically, but the game itself. I think kind of the two other big news from baseball to kind of come out, or the other big news, two parts, was that Manfred is looking, obviously the players union has to agree, but to keep expanded playoffs and to keep the runner on second base rule for 2021. I know you were very bullish on the runner on second base rule. What do you think about both moving forward and, you know, the potential for them to be a part of the game?
Well, I like the runner on second rule.
Like forever. You're in on it.
I'm fine. Listen, for the regular season, I'm fine with it. You know, I
agree with that. Can't be in the playoffs. You have to stop.
No. Playoffs would be a total sham. But again, my main reason for liking the runner on second rule is I genuinely felt like I was finally watching baseball again. You know, a runner on second, move him over, get him in. You know, I love that kind of baseball, and I know that makes me sound like a freaking, like,
dinosaur.
Oh, let's take it back to the 50s, and, you know.
And you call me the old guy.
I know. Listen, no one has older sports opinions than me. I would say that I have the most old sports opinions of all 26-year-olds in the Philadelphia area. So I just like, because I feel like I was watching baseball again, and I think for the regular season it makes sense, you know. For every Mitchie Poo and Wilson Valdez and all that, there's like a 20,000, oh, let me just try to hit a home run and end the game for four innings, you know, where like position players have to get in. Like for every magical postseason or extra innings game, there's like 200 terrible ones. So I think at least with the extra inning rule, it kind of moves the game along and it's fun and it adds intrigue and it feels like you're actually watching baseball. Now, don't even think about expanding the playoffs. Like, I hate the expanded playoffs. I didn't watch like the first round. Like, I just didn't care. I don't care that these dog crap teams are in. And like, again, why are you watering down the regular season? Like, why? This is my main problem with all of sports, is that everything's just geared so much towards get to the postseason. Like, baseball was the one sport where I was like, let me enjoy the 162. Let me enjoy the journey. Let me see if my team can make a run in September. And yeah, sure, we might fall out of it. But like for the love of the sport, like, do we really need that many playoff teams? We just don't. You don't need that many playoff teams. And ultimately, like, I don't want 81 and 81 win teams trying to make the playoffs, or like 79 win teams making the playoffs, or even like 84 win teams making the playoffs. Like, I just want sports to be earned, and I don't want these 81 win baseball teams being awarded with winning a world or with making the playoffs. I don't want mediocrity being rewarded. I don't want to turn into freaking hockey where like 8 seeds can upset 1 seeds. Like, I don't like that. I like seeing great teams be honored with being great teams and winning. And I just hate that everything is gearing towards like TV contracts, and we got to fill this, and everyone only really cares about playoff baseball or playoffs in all sports. So we got to expand the playoffs to get more teams in to add more intrigue into September. And it's like, how about we just reward the teams that deserve to be there? How about we just stick to that? So I hate it. I couldn't hate expanded playoffs more. Just leave it where it was. Let the truly great teams get in. And listen, you'll still see magic. I mean, the Nationals last year were magical. Like, that's something that can happen, but I don't need that with just crap teams making the playoffs. I hate it. I really do.
I agree with you. I would be fine. I'm fine if they keep it at 10, which it was before, obviously. I would be fine with 12. Anything more than that, I have a problem. I think 12 is okay. I can accept it. You're still talking about 12 of 30. That's not that bad. Obviously, the 16 this year, and I was okay with it for the sham of a season. And even then, I hated it. I ended up hating it more than I thought I would. It sucked. The fact that the Philadelphia Phillies went 1-7 in their last day and could have gone 2-6 and made the playoffs is a joke. I mean, that's, we all watch this team all year. They were not a playoff team. Like, it's just stupid. It as you said, it waters it down. It makes it feel inconsequential. It makes it feel like something's not earned. So I'm 100% with you. I would rather it stay at 10 than go past 12. 12, I will accept. I'm not saying I'm advocating for it, but I'm fine with it. But anything past that, and I'm just out. I am 100% with you. I think it's a disaster. I don't know how 12 works. It would have to be like 6-6, and then you can't have three play each other. I know it's funky. So for that reason alone, stay at 10 as far as I'm concerned. But the 16 was a travesty. And I really think, like, of all the things that happened this year, like, the expanding playoffs to that level is the number one thing that could threaten the long-term integrity of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have the DH. Like, I'd rather have the DH.
It's not even close, Jack. Come on. That's not even close. It's not even close. Like, it's not even a... Like, I thought the DH was good, but obviously I like it coming in. So, let's be honest, Jack. Let's be honest here. And you would be different than most, but how many times watching games this year did you say, oh, you know what I miss? I miss the pitcher hitting. Or I don't know, at a certain point, even notice that the pitcher didn't hit anymore. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I never lie to the High Hopes listeners, and I plead the fifth. I'm not... I'm not answering.
That was a really good line. I'm surprised you've never used that before. It was very good.
I'm not answering the question.
That was good. All right, what do you got in your take back?
All right, so I just want to know if you're ever going to apologize to Clayton Kershaw for rooting against him. But this is tonight is the anniversary of the Cliff Lee game in 2009, the behind the back. And honestly, like, probably the coolest pitching performance ever. I mean, just an absolute, like, bleep you start from Cliff Lee. And I tell you what, man, for that one half a year, there was no one cooler. Like, there was no one cooler than Cliff Lee.
I will argue there is only one other cooler pitching performance, but I agree with this point. He had a swag to him, like almost a carelessness to it, like where it felt like, I don't even care. I'm just going to go out and dominate. But the one cooler performance, and I think you got to give it to him, is the Doc Ellis no-hitter on LSD. I mean, that's pretty freaking cool, man.
Definitely impressive.
David Wells' perfect game, you know, hungover. It's all right. You know, there are a few.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, Cliff Lee, man, and I actually don't think he cared. I mean, as it turned out, he probably didn't care.
It turned out he probably did not give two Fs.
Yep. And the history will not forget the 4-0 blown lead. Or at least I won't forget it, because just like I haven't forgotten Cole Hamels. But just an unbelievable game. And I just remember watching him, like, this is like the coolest thing ever. Where were you for Cliff Lee game one?
Where was I for Cliff Lee game one? I remember, hold on. I could see the image of, I was definitely at a bar.
Ah, classic.
I just can't remember which bar. Wait, I can't remember which bar, but I was at a bar.
Is it the Cliff Lee game or is it the Utley 2-homer game?
It's the Cliff Lee game, for me at least. But I mean, it's crazy to say that, because I mean, not that many people have hit 2 home runs in a World Series game.
And beating CC again. I still, even after they won game one, I was like, I still don't think they're winning the series. Like, I think I was never that heartbroken in that series, because I just didn't think they were going to win anyway. And I guess we were coming off the
winning the World Series. Yeah, makes it a little easier.
It wasn't exactly killer, but just awesome. Also, the year before, I mean, tomorrow is the anniversary of Game 5 in 2008, obviously.
Buddy. Yeah, we're actually at the anniversary of the day off right now, I believe, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, what else would
I know? It was brutal. That was brutal. Yeah. In the moment, it was like, oh, I can't believe they're not playing this game today. We got to wait another day. Oh, my God.
Yeah, brutal. Although it would have been hilarious if, like, that the World Series went to a Game 7 and, like, they had to delay it 2 days because of the COVID with Justin Turner, and, like, the Rays were involved in it again.
Oh, my God. That would have been wild, man. You're right. That would have been crazy. And could have. Like, theoretically, could have happened.
Also, if you like a deep dive into Jack and James's thoughts on Game 5, we did a podcast, I think, right at the beginning of the lockdown. Or not the lockdown, but of
quarantine.
The pandemic. Yeah, of quarantining, where we went back and we rewatched Game 5 and, like, really did, like, a really deep dive into Game 5. Like, maybe more in depth than any podcast we've done. I mean, we had notes, you know.
We had like serious notes.
Serious notes. We had to record it twice. Remember
yeah,
that?
How could I ever forget, Jack? Your computer.
Yep, my very trustworthy computer.
So we recorded it one day, and then your computer died, and we were like a good 50 plus minutes into it. Like, it was not like, oh, we're 20 minutes in. Like, we had recorded like pretty much all the podcasts, and Jack's computer just died, I guess. So like, he lost it all. Like, there was no, so we had my audio. So I have all my audio of this whole podcast. But yeah, and not yours, and we couldn't do it. And then we did it like 2 days later. We didn't even have the heart to do it again for 2 days because we were so bummed.
Well, it was just like the World Series.
Oh yeah. How did we not put that together? Good job.
I don't know. So, happy 12-year anniversary. Ugh, gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, look who you're talking to, buddy.
I know, because you're so old.
I know.
So Howard, a friend of the podcast, Howard Eskin, had an interesting report on Saturday. So he on the air, he said that Andy McPhail is leaning on Matt Klentak to help him pick the next GM, which seems like a bad idea.
No.
It seems like a bad idea. Now, I will say, if he's like helping him dissect who like the best, you know, analytic possible GMs were, you know, I can see the value in it, right?
Yeah, and you don't think they're talking. All right, so we've got it down to Ned, Dave, and Jim. Which one you think's the best? Which one's the guy?
You're saying you don't trust Klentak to help him out?
I don't trust either of them. Why are they here, Jack? Why are we still talking about McPhail and Klentak? Why? Why, dude? Why?
I can't believe Andy McPhail is still here. Like, Andy McPhail being here is just dreadful. Seriously, he hasn't been good since the 90s.
Yeah, it's a disaster. Like, it's embarrassing that he's here. It's an embarrassment.
There could be one good thing to Andy McPhail still being here is that Dave Dombrowski won't come. I mean, that could be a good thing for Andy.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, look, yeah.
Whatever it takes to keep Dave Dombrowski away from this franchise.
True. Fair.
We didn't mention earlier, but Salisbury wrote today that JT would like to stay here. And he does not really want to play in New York. He's not keen on playing in New York. So, you know, much like Cliff Lee.
But did have the qualifier. If they give him a record amount of money, he'll go there, is what I said, just to keep it real.
Don't care about that part. I don't care about the part where he's not keen on playing in New York. Final thing here. Oh, and also, I think IHOPs will be in cans by next week. So I think we have IHOPs in cans. I'm drinking a Fritz beer right now. So it's our Marzen from Four Fingers. So if you're into Marzen, into Oktoberfest kind of beers, go out to Four Fingers and pick some up for yourselves. But we should be in cans starting next week. And as always, go in and try to talk Phillies with my dad. He will have no idea what you're talking about. So my final thing is here. So what would you say, James, is like the most pressure you've have you ever felt pressure in your life?
Have I ever felt pressure in my life?
Yeah, like what would you say is like your most pressure-filled moment? Like because you didn't really play sports growing up. Like, so I know you don't really know anything about pressure.
What are you talking about? I was captain of my varsity football team, and I play varsity baseball. So I don't know what you're talking about, big dog. I assume like college sports, which you barely did.
Hey, 9 more innings than you. So, like, what would you say is a pressure to do? What was your most pressure?
I mean, I like having a kid in that moment when you're, you know,
having a kid is daily pressure.
For a lot of pressure in that one. I mean, like our job, as you know, can have some pressure pack situations and stuff like that. You know, yeah. I've been up with the bases loaded once or twice, not in any super high profile games, but you know, here and there. Where are you going with this, Jack Fritz?
Because I would just like to say to everyone out there, there is no higher pressure, high leverage, you know, like Gabe used to say, situation than attempting to parallel park when there's someone behind you. Like,
Jack, like it's just, Jack, I would say that there are a few things on this planet that I am truly great at. Like, I'm very good at a lot of things. Like, but like certain things, like drinking car bombs, you know, you put the shot of the Baileys and the Jameson in the Guinness. Like, I'm just really effing fast at it. Like, I never lose. I will beat anyone. I don't care who you are. I'm amazing at it. Like, there are just certain things that I'm truly great at. Parallel parking is one of those things, Jack. I am an all-time great parallel parker. So in this specific situation, I feel no pressure. In fact, Jack, I would go so far as to say I like an audience.
Wow.
I prefer it because then I like to do the one move, the little like, whoo, whoo, and I'm in so fast, and I just look back. I'm like, yeah, you're impressed. I know you're impressed. It's cool. You don't got to say anything.
That is a different level of cockiness. Now, I would like to point out to the listeners, because once again, we never lie. You're driving a Mini Cooper. I mean,
well,
it's
now I am.
Be the
yes,
easiest.
It's the best. Yeah. Well, that's why I got the Mini Cooper, because we had a Mini Cooper about 10, 12 years ago in the city. It's the best city car in the history of anything ever. You can fit in any spot. It is unbelievable. But like, I could parallel park with any car. Like, I had a Hyundai Sonata before that. I parallel parked the crap out of that. A Volvo before that. Beast mode. I've lived in the city for like 13 years. Like, you get very good at it.
Yeah, I would just like, I mean, the Mini Cooper is like, I mean, it's steroids. Like, it's
yes,
it is.
I will not argue that. It is the steroids of it is performance enhancing parallel parking.
It's totally cheating.
But when you see something like the spot I'm in tonight, actually, this is funny that you bring this up, that I got tonight. So my favorite thing with the Mini is when you'll pull by a spot and you'll go, I can't fit in there. And you're like, you know what? I'm gonna try. And then you fit in and you got a foot on each side and you're like, this car, man. This car.
Yeah, I never feel that. If I see a spot even being marginally too close, I'm driving around the block. Like, I hate it. I hate having someone behind me because, like, I get all frazzled. Like, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to go park like an hour away and walk. Like, that's how small I feel right now. Like, I've dealt with pressure. I mean, I'm 2-0 in the high school playoffs for a reason. I mean, I live for pressure. Golf, not so much, because golf's, you know, it messes with your head, and obviously our jobs are pretty pressure filled. But it's like a game 7 every single time you parallel park. I mean, it's that level of pressure, and then they're behind you, and they're like, you know, they're thinking like, can we hurry it up here? Like, they're not thinking like, oh, take your time. So then you got to think about the people behind you. You got to think about parking. You got to think about not hitting the cars around you. By the way, since living in the city, I've noticed way too many people that are just like very fine just hitting the cars behind them. It's like, that's not how this works.
It's called the Philly bump, Jack.
You can't just hit the car behind you. Like, you can't just do that. Like, that's not happening. You're not allowed to just hit the car behind you because you're like, it's inconveniencing you. So, you know, I would just like everyone out there, if you are stuck behind someone trying to parallel park, like, there's a human in there, all right? And that human is probably really stressed, and just calm down, you know.
I like to look and be like, oh, they got no chance, oh, they're going in way too hot, or oh, that is a terrible angle, or I'll be like, ooh, this girl's good, look at that, that's a good move right there. So yeah, I judge them when I'm mine.
But like in James Seltzer's voice, these are human beings. You know, so like they're there are human beings in that car that are that. Hey,
they're human beings, that's Jack.
Yeah, that human being also wants to get in the spot. Okay, so you know, everyone in that situation, everyone wants the same end goal. Let me get in the spot without the Philly bump and let everyone go on their way. So you know, I don't need you bearing down. I will get in and out at some time. Give me a little bit of a break.
Oh, buddy. That I could see that. I could see that if you're not a super comfortable parallel parker, people behind you, you're kind of feeling it. That's a tough spot.
It's a damn near impossible spot. Yeah. I would like to see Madison Baumgartner try to parallel park, and he was the clutchest pitcher I've seen in the postseason ever.
I'll parallel park war against Madison Bumgarner any day.
Well, what if it's
Do you need me to give you lessons or something? I could teach you.
No, like I'm fine. I'm fine if there's no one around.
Need a lesson, buddy? I'll give you a free lesson.
As soon as that car is behind me, it's like
melt. You panic.
Oh, I just want to crawl up into a ball and just. I just want to get in that freaking spot.
It's so funny. I'm the opposite. I'm like looking at them like, you better slow down. Like, relax. Like, when they're like coming up too hot, I'm like, I've honked at people to like back up so I can get into a spot if they don't see my blinker on. Like, I'm pretty aggressive on the roads, Jack.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't exactly exude calmness. So,
no, I will say this. I am the king of hypocrisy in the sense that, like, someone will, and I will totally admit it, and it's a horrible quality, but like someone will do something like super annoying that I know I would, like, not super annoying, but like kind of like maybe come out like and not speed up quick. And not even that. That's a bad example because I would always do that. But like, anyway, the point is like someone will like go, you know what, like a good example is like kind of gun it coming. Like if you're going straight and there's no left-hand turn signal, they'll kind of go like right before it turns green to kind of gun it across and go like, I'll get annoyed when people do that to me when I'm going straight, but I totally do that all the time. So I'm very hypocritical as a driver, but that's because I'm good at it, Jack. So
yeah. I'm, well, I mean, when I get behind people and they're parallel parking, I'm like, come on, let's figure it out.
I know.
I totally get it, but that's what I got.
I love it. Somehow we go for over an hour. I didn't even think we talked much Phillies. It was good. I know. All right. We'll be back next week, probably like Wednesday or Thursday, I would think, obviously. Some, you know, stuff happening next week. Vote. It is your patriotic duty. You're right. Definitely get out and vote if you haven't already. Final thought. I meant to mention this. I don't know if you saw this. Johnny Heller tweet this. Alec Bohm, 0 infield pop-ups this season. Did you see that?
So he's the next Votto?
He's the next Votto, Jack.
I'll take. I've already convinced myself he's the next Freddie Freeman. So
even better.
I'm at the Freddie Freeman point.
I am in with that, and soon enough, hopefully, we'll be watching him win Rookie of the Year. All right, until next week, he's Fritz himself. We'll see you guys later.